Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we call upon Thee once again in this afternoon hour as we have gathered ourselves together. Look into Thy Word and meditate upon it. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for preserving this Word down through the ages for us, that we could take the time, a day set aside for us to come worship, read Thy Word and meditate on it, apply it to our lives. We pray that You'll give the unction of the Holy Spirit that we might be fed of Thee, strengthened, encouraged, and that the church might be edified once again this afternoon. So we look to Thee. Use Thy servant as a tool in Thy hand. We know that we are weak and frail, and we need Thy guidance. So we depend upon Thee, we love Thee, and we want to serve Thee. So bless our being together, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For our meditation and the reading this afternoon, I would like to read out of the book of Acts, chapter 28. Acts, chapter 28. I'd like to begin reading with verse 11. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship to Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing in Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, they thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse of my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came shoot or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed that the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. And after that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias, the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. But Paul dwelt two more years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, and no man forbidding him. May God bless the reading of the word. Let us bow before him in prayer. This last chapter of the book of Acts is the last voyage, the end voyage of the Apostle Paul as he made his way to Rome. And it was just the part that we didn't read about here, where they had been shipwrecked onto an island, and there they were for approximately 3 months there, and the people there welcomed them, and he had healed a few of them, and then the scripture says that they sent them off with many things, as they were so friendly and so helpful. And so we pick up the reading here on chapter 11, that they had now left, and they are on their way to Rome as they go through these here different, on this trip up through the Asiatic Sea, and up along that side is where they come across these other cities, that Syracuse and Regium and them other places that they stopped. And sometimes they would find brethren, it says in 14, and we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so as he made his way up there and would find the brethren, he would speak to them, encourage them in their walk with the Lord. I found it interesting because there were so many, this is so far away from Jerusalem and so far removed from what seems to be the religious area and the place where the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached by Paul. And so, but yet he did find brethren clear up there, and they welcomed him whenever they saw him, whenever they met him. Even as he says here, when he, and from thence when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appia Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. So after going through many things, we see that he had been beaten in different places. The Jews wanted to kill him. And then when he got into this ship and was on his way there to Rome, he was bound and determined to go to Rome, because when we read about him and his experiences with the Lord, when he was blinded and he came, the Lord said, I have places for you to go, and you're going to suffer many things. And he did. He suffered much. And when he was on this ship, it was interesting that he said that the angel came to him at night and told him that there was no one going to be perished from this shipwreck. As bad as the sea was, 14 days they were on this ship without eating, without food. And it finally landed by this island. And the ship, the waves just beat the ship up. It just ruined it. And they, it was all swam and got to this island and came there. And so he's been through much. He's been through, as he mentioned in the book of Corinthians, where he's been in the sea 3 days. He's been beaten. He's been stripes, all kinds of stripes. He went through a lot. But he never gave up. He never stopped. He was focused to go to preach the gospel message, and this is what he did. And it didn't matter what came, nothing moved him. At one point, they told him he was going to go back to Jerusalem. He wanted to be there for one of the feasts, and they begged him and told him, no, don't go. And the one man even had took his belt and strapped himself down and tied himself down. He says, whoever owns this here, this is what's going to happen to you when you get there. And that didn't mean a thing to Paul. He said, it don't matter. None of these things move me, he said. So he had no fear of man whatsoever. All he had was focus. He wanted to go to Rome. Because the Lord told him he's going to go there and he's going to witness to many. The chapter before this, he went and faced King Agrippa, told him all about the souls, about the salvation of Jesus Christ, even to the point when Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, Paul. And so he had a way of determination, he had a way of speaking to the people, and he had a way of bringing gospel message to wherever he went. And this is what we find here. This is what he was saying there then. And so when he gets to Rome, we can see he's still bound. He's still got a soldier that's caring and watching over him. And so they took the other soldiers. It says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, no, it says, when they came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier and that kept him. And we can see in the end of the chapter that it says that, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him. So here he was in Rome, and he had a message to deliver. And so we came to Rome. He calls the Jewish elders and those that were of the religious sect there. He calls them together. He said, after 3 days, says, Paul came to the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And the reason that he was delivered to the Romans was because the Jews insisted that they do away with him. They didn't like what he said. They accused him of going against their nation. They accused him of not preaching the law of Moses. They had all kind of accusations against him. None of that was ever true, the Apostle Paul. He recognized the nation, the Jewish nation. He spoke to them whenever he went. The first thing he went to was the synagogue, and he would talk to the Jews and try to convince them. But he was also sent not to the Jews so much as the Gentiles. And so he goes on and he talks about this. And then he says, who then they had examined me would have let me go because they had no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse of my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak to you, because that of the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. So you see, for the hope of Israel, this was his, even with Christ. Christ said he came for his own, and his own received him not. And the same thing was Paul. He was a Jew. He was a Pharisee. And he told many of them along his way, this is what he was. One time when he became The mob had got him together, and they brought him into the Sanhedrin, and the chiefs and the heads, and they began to question him, and they threatened him, and they were going to beat him up. When he realized that there were some Pharisees and some Sadducees. And when he discovered that, he said to them, "I am here because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which I believe in." And when he said that, the Sadducees turned against him. And then he said he was a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. And then, of course, that side of the Pharisees in with him, and the Sadducees was against him because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe any of that. This was the Sadducees. But the Pharisees believed in all of it. And so as a result, the Pharisees stood up and said, "No, you know, he has done nothing to amiss. He's done nothing to deserve death. He has done nothing wrong." And they stuck up for him once they found out he was a Pharisee, and the Sadducees were against it. And so they began to quarrel among themselves to the point that it was such an uproar, the soldiers had to come and break it up and split him up and carry him out of there before they tore him apart, it says. So you see some of the things that he went through, he lived through, experienced in his life, never deterred him one minute from wanting to serve the Lord, wanting to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. Never. And so this is what we find here. And so as he spoke to these here Jewish leaders and that, the chiefs, he said that, and they said unto him, "We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came shewed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou speakest, what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." So you see, these brethren clear up there in Rome already heard. They already were notified somehow that this was the sect. When it talks about the sect, it's talking about the Nazarenes, those that followed Jesus Christ, those that believed in him. And this is what he was trying to teach and portray to them so that they would understand the way of salvation. It's all through Jesus Christ. And so this is what, and they said they have not heard anything bad about him, and they wanted to hear what he had to say. And then he goes on to say, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening." From morning until evening. I don't know how a man could stand there and preach from morning to evening, but he did. And at one time, he preached not only all day, but all night, to the point that one man was sitting in the window, we didn't read about it, and he fell out of the window, died, and he went down there, laid on him, brought him back to life, went back up and preached some more. This is how he was sold on Jesus Christ. He had no other doctor. He had nothing else to talk about but his Lord and his Savior that saw him, that converted him, and he wanted everyone that he ever came in contact with to know this. And to us, that should be a lesson for every one of us. Do we, as God's children, are we so sold on the idea of being God's child? Are we so sure of our salvation that we're willing to tell anybody wherever we might go? Or are we maybe a little bit ashamed? Maybe a little bit afraid to speak? Maybe afraid to tell somebody that who we really are and how we really believe in Christ? I have to admit, there was a time when I was a little bit afraid to speak one. But no more. When somebody wants to have dealings or do something with me on Sunday, I said, nope. My day is busy on Sunday. We spend church, we go to church, and we don't do anything on Sunday. Not that that makes me any so good and such a great man and a good Mr. Goody-Goody. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I am bound and determined not to do and have any business, if at all possible, on Sundays, because Sundays is my day of rest. And I believe in trusting and praising and worshiping God on Sunday. We cannot be ashamed. We cannot be afraid to speak up. What we believe is right and what we testify to those that we come in contact with. One place, Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He told the Romans that. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. As we read in the first chapter of Romans, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I supposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among others. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as in me is I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This is what he told the Romans while he was there. This is the letter he wrote to them. He was not ashamed. No way. And I believe that we can take a strong lesson of what the life that he lived and how he stood up for his Lord and his Savior, Jesus Christ. We have an obligation, brothers and sisters. We have that same obligation. We need to be motivated. We need to be inspired. We need to be encouraged one with another. That our faith that we believe in, our walk with Jesus Christ, as we walk, as it says, circumspectly, in reverence to our God, our Lord and our Savior. And let us not one minute, fall short of being ashamed. You know, Christ even said, if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you in my kingdom. This is how serious it is. This is Christ's words. And so we cannot take that risk of being ashamed or afraid. Have no fear. We know that God is with us. God was with him through all this. Many times the Lord would come to speak to him. A couple of times he was in prison. The Lord spoke to him. Be encouraged. In prison. Be encouraged. Can you imagine? It would be so much easier to sit there and feel sorry for yourself, cry around because you got put here and you can't do your job. And an angel comes along and says, be encouraged. He was very encouraged. And he let nothing betray or nothing get in and hinder his way. And so as he spoke to these people, as he says, when they appointed him this day about the concerning the Jesus Christ, both of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning until evening, and some believed and some which were spoken and believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. And after that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake he of the Holy Ghost by Esaias, the prophet unto their fathers. So you see, as he preached and he spoke, we have the same thing today. We have young people that come here, gather Sunday after Sunday, even Wednesday night, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for you young people that like to come, that are willing to come to church. But you need to listen. You need to make a change in your life. You need to be converted. You need to believe like some of these here that believed in him. Believe the words. You need to believe the words you hear from here. You need to understand them. It's your soul you're dealing with. It's not just because we want you to be a good kid and we want you to come to church all the time. No. We want you to believe. We want you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your own soul salvation. And when you neglect that,
that's what you're doing. You're neglecting your own soul salvation.
And so this is what, not the first time, many times, not all of them believed the Apostle Paul. I don't care if he did talk all night. I don't care if he talked all day. There were still those, and why? As Isaiah said, for the heart of those, these people, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You don't have to be a Jew to be accused of this. This applies to anybody that closed their ears, that disregard the gospel message, that disregard the preaching at all, won't listen, won't hear, want nothing to do with it. Walk out these doors time and time again, and it's like water off a duck's back. Just runs right off. Didn't hear a thing. You know why? Because your heart is waxed gross. Your heart is not willing to accept the plan of salvation. Maybe you think you're too young. Or maybe you think you don't need it. Or maybe you think you got a whole lot of time. Don't be fooled. You know, like they say, old people must die, but young people can die. And you can die. You can be gone. You may never see home. I've said this time and time again. You need to think about it. You need to meditate on it. You need to know. You need to understand. What is the plan of salvation for your life? And so this is what the Apostle Paul's message was so often. And he said it well. He said, Isaiah said, their heart is waxed gross. But he said, be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So once he realized that this was the case with the Jews, and he was told before, they'll be like this, that's why he was sent to the Gentiles. This was his response. This is what he was compelled to do. This is what Christ told him when he blinded him. I want you to go to the Gentiles. They will hear you. And so this is why they began to preach and teach the Gentiles. And he said, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. So you see, they did think about it. They probably wondered. And they might have somewhat meditated on it. But because their heart was cracked, waxed so gross, couldn't overcome that, couldn't get by, get around that. And so the Gentiles responded, and we could see in many of his letters, he wrote to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles believed the gospel message. And so as it says here then, and Paul dwelt there 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. That was because God was with him. God watched over him. God and Jesus wanted his word spread. He was allowed to be in his own hired place 2 whole years. And it says they came to him and they wanted to hear. And he expounded the way of Jesus Christ to them. And so that's why I believe that there were many. We can read in the book of Romans, the first chapter, how they responded. Many of them did respond to him, but there were still some, as we can read there. It says, for like an example in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shewed unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
But not everybody believed God or Paul's words, didn't accept the way of salvation. There were ungodly people that were ungodly in their ways, and they would not accept it. And you can read, if you read further on in the chapter 1 of the Romans, it explains exactly how the people were at that time, and is very typical of this very day and age. It talks about women that didn't use their natural way. It talks about men rather wanting to be with men. It's exactly what we have today. This gay rights thing is just everywhere. And they want you and I to accept it. They want you and I to accept this way. It's sin. How can you accept sin? We can't. And this is why we have to be strong and believe in our trust in the words that God has given us, how we don't believe in these kinds of sins. And these people just live freely and want to be this way. And God give them over to a reprobate mind because of their own waxed, gross hearts. And we see this in our society this day and age. Dearly beloved, we're living in the latter times. We're living in the last days. It promises, you read in the book of Timothy, and it talks about there's going to be perilous times. There's going to be men, lovers of men rather than lovers of God. They love the creature more than the creator. So on, so forth. We're living in that day and age. It's here. And we need to be strong in our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ. And for when these young people hear about these things, don't be persuaded. Don't be convinced. It's wrong. It's against God's word. It's a sin. And you need to understand that, and you need to stand up for what's right and to believe it yourself. And so these are the kinds of things that Paul had to write to them about so that they would understand what they're up against, just like we are up against the same. You see, mankind hasn't really changed a whole lot. Man loves darkness rather than light. You can read it in the book of John. Because their deeds are evil, and they don't want the light to manifest their evil deeds. That's why they love darkness. And we're in these dark ages now. We're here. And so we need to be God's chosen people. Because we are his people, we need to stand up for what is right, just like the Apostle Paul. It doesn't matter what happens, what comes our way. Don't give up. Don't compromise your faith because it's against God's word. So may God bless these words upon our hearts. May we be encouraged, even as the Apostle Paul was. Encouraged as one another as we come, as we gather, and we look to see what the scriptures have for us, and we learn. May God bless these words upon our heart. Amen.
As the brother shared from the scripture, the example of the Apostle Paul, who had given himself into the service of his Lord fully, was a challenging and encouraging word that we heard. And it brought to mind the words that Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. We are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. When we hear that we should hold to the word of life and faith, when we are encouraged to stand strong, it helps our joy as a blessing in our lives. And those of you who do not know the Lord, you are encouraged to seek the Lord while he may be found, to find salvation for your own souls while it is the day of grace. Some verses from a hymn that we often sing in conclusion. Dear brethren, then be on your guard as pilgrims here below. Your guide and rule be God's true word. It shows how you must go. Ye sisters all, let each one be in service for the Lord. O watch and pray unceasingly, that bringeth rich reward. So then let us not be depressed, whatever may arise, we journey on to endless rest in yonder paradise. Amen.